Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, I'm joined by the wonderful and beautiful Alyssa Terry, who will be joining me to talk about Hellstrom. Episodes 1 through 5, we're kind of getting that first half, and just going to get a little spoiler-filled discussion about episodes 1 through 5 of Hellstrom. All that right off the bat, we have no control over. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
My name's Alyssa Terry.
Alyssa Terry, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
You know, I'm good. I've had a good evening of sitting around watching murders with you.
That sounds about like a average Thursday night.
Yeah, it does. It does. Well, often it's watching shows about murders that already happened that are scary and spooky.
Real life.
Real life murders. But this, we're talking about Hellstrom. Let's just dive right in. Oh, by the way, let me throw up at the top. We are doing a big thing, and I'm going to drop another ad for this in the feed because it's a big deal. This Saturday, we were supposed to record tonight, but it turns out Jeff is sick. So we are not going to do our news and feedback now. We're going to wait till Saturday. And Saturday, we are doing a big event on Twitch. It's going to be the 500th episode of the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. I feel like I buried the lead. I probably should have said that first. This Saturday, we are recording the 500th episode. So if you have been a follower of this podcast, if you just want to come join us, we are two things. We're going to be doing it live on Twitch, twitch.tv/strandedpandaTV, Saturday at noon. And if you have anything you'd like to say about the 500th episode, anything you want to say about the show, things you like, things, you know, which is just going to be sort of a celebration, your favorite moments, anything like that, get them into us quick, because Saturday morning, Saturday at noon Central Standard Time, we will be doing the 500th episode. And then, not only that, we're going to do 500th episode, and then we're going to immediately transition into the Stranded Panda Halloween party, which awesome. I'm pretty excited about. We're going to try to dress up a little bit. All of you can dress up. We'll probably do what we do on Wednesdays, which is start a Zoom call. So you guys can all join us on the Zoom call. It's going to be a whole thing. We might even have a call-in number ready. We've never gotten that to work right, but we're going to try. We'll probably have the call-in number ready so you can call into the 500th episode. And then we'll all get on Zoom and just hang out, play games. And we're going to be running a special Halloween-themed trivia, actually written by Alyssa Terry, partially at least.
I was going to say, if people write in good feedback about me, then I'll write trivia and try to use it as like a carrot.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But you ruined that.
I failed it.
I already did it.
I failed. I'm sorry. So we're gonna have a trivia and it with prizes and everything. So it's gonna be fun. It's Halloween themed trivia and then probably Halloween themed board game night too. So if you're listening to this and you like the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, come out Saturday at noon Central, twitch.tv/strandedpandaTV, and we'll be on there for till I don't know 3 or 4 in the afternoon doing party things.
Party.
Party? Okay. So, let's talk about Hellstrom. What do you think about Hellstrom?
From what I have seen through the separations of my fingers, I've enjoyed it so far.
Every time something gets super tense, she definitely like, I'm going to look over here at my phone. I just see like Amy. Oh, I'm going to play with the dogs for a minute.
Something needs tending to in the other room.
Yeah.
Or just yelling at the TV. No, Matt, what happened?
So Alyssa doesn't particularly like horror things, but as I said, Jeff was sick, so she joined me in catching up on Hellstrom.
I had really bad FOMO. And he was like, watch this show with me, and I was like, absolutely not. And then Jeff got sick, and I was like, all right, well, I'm in for the ride.
Yeah.
Here we go.
You caught a few minutes of one episode, and you were like, looks good. I'll watch it. Okay, I'll keep up with you. And I was like, cool, because you've been off the last few days with me because you have coronavirus.
No, I don't.
No, she does not have the coronavirus.
Don't we spread lies?
She has the flu.
Apparently
you have the flu, and you gave it to me, and now we're both sick.
We had this fight last night.
Yeah, we did.
I definitely did not give you the flu.
She definitely gave me the flu, guys. So, Hellstrom. Here's my overall thoughts on Hellstrom.
Okay.
Overall, I think it has the Captain Marvel problem. which I know you don't listen to the podcast, so you don't know what I mean by that. But basically, it is, I feel like it's trying so hard to have a mystery that I still don't know who anyone is or what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know a few things. Hellstrom wants to save his mother. And I know that his sister wants to kill people who are doing bad things.
Right.
Those are two fairly clear motivations. But, like, I feel even those didn't really get revealed till halfway through. You know what I mean? Like, it really... Well, Hellstrom's and his mother got revealed pretty quickly. But, like... And even still, knowing that, I still don't know who Hellstrom is. I don't know who his sister is. They keep calling him traitor.
Yeah.
The demons keep calling him traitor.
Sure.
So, like, is he a demon?
I think he's a demon.
I think he's a demon,
too. I think he and Anna are baby demons.
I think so, too. That's exactly
what I think. Because they can have, like, an origination story. Because didn't they, like, cover that somewhere? Like, demons can basically be born. Like, they're not just roaming the earth from millions of years ago or whatever. Like,
yeah.
They can be born. I think that something with their dad somehow birthed these...
two demons.
Like, baby demons?
Yeah, or something like that. And they're not... they're not following through with their demon ways because maybe they had their mother who taught them not to be demons.
Maybe. But Anna doesn't seem super attached to her mom, who she's pissed at for letting her be kidnapped.
But, you know, you had that scene where Hellstrom's, like, trying to convince his sister not to kill people. Like, you know how this is a slippery slope and all this stuff. Like, and I was wondering, like, is she, like, slipping into her demon-y ways? Like, I don't know. I definitely think they have something to do with demons with them that's like, but I don't know. They keep calling him traitor. So what does that mean? If their dad was a demon of whatever type and their mom's possessed by this demon or cursed, I just don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't know. Like, and so I still just don't know who they are. And that's what I mean by Captain Marvel problem. The whole theme of that movie is this woman's going through this thing and she doesn't realize who she is till the end. Mm-hmm. And so you don't ever get a chance to get to know her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I while I like that movie a lot in some ways,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it would be stronger if I knew who her character was earlier on.
Yeah, maybe. So I just finished watching Sharper Objects.
Okay.
With Amy Adams in it. It's an HBO show.
Cool.
Also creepy and murdery.
Of course, like you do. You hate them, but you can't stay away. Every time you think you're out, the shows pull you back in.
I am enticed by a strong female lead. I'll be real. but they weren't building a lot of main characters' stories. Like, I feel like we kind of learned the story through trying to figure out the mystery of her. And maybe they're just struggling because there's just too many people to build mysteries around. Because, like, we kind of know what the nun in training is there to do. She seems like maybe she's an accomplice or maybe she's just a Vatican spy. But we know that at least in the beginning, her motivation was, you know, to serve the church or the institution.
Right.
But I feel like there's just mysteries around everyone all the time. And there's no central person that it's unfolding around.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Maybe absolutely it does. Wrong. No, you said it exactly right. Like, I just think it's important to at least have a sense of who your main character is. And I don't think we even have that with Damon, much less his sister, and then even less their parent figures.
Yeah.
The Taker and the Doctor. I just feel like I feel very unmoored in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's fine. It's, like, pretty good. Like, the character is enjoyable to watch.
It's interesting. I'm still hooked. I'm not so confused and lost without having any comic book knowledge or anything that I'm disinterested.
Right.
Which I want to do with these kind of movies or shows.
Yeah. That's the other thing. You mentioned that. I think that, like, it's also hard to know... I still, until very recently, and this last episode, episode 5, where we see inside of Mother's head, and you get a sense of what's actually been going on inside of her.
Right.
I don't know what to root for. And I think that's what they're trying to do. Like, I didn't even understand how possession worked until, like, very recently in these episodes.
I think it was the last episode where mother's going through her coma, possession, whatever is happening with her.
Right.
And then at the same time, the frat kid is explaining possession in another scene.
Right. So we're like episode 5. And I think it's to some degree episode 4 when you find out these people are in a coma. You start to get rules. And I feel like genre shows need rules. Mm-hmm. And so I generally just... I'm not enjoying it as much as I want to because I don't know what I'm supposed to want out of the show or the characters or the demons or like they have even tried to humanize the demons here and there.
Yeah.
Where there's like maybe there's lesser demons that maybe the demon that's inside the mother, Karoth or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
She seemed like when she's talking about her children and like, she seems legit. Like, she seems like she actually wants to be with her children, yeah, wherever they are, or whoever they are.
Right. Yeah, and then there's the keeper demons, who are people who are kind of traitors.
Yeah, they're traitors.
Like Hellstrom, maybe? Okay, so, for I think the first 3 episodes, I really did think that Hellstrom was like a vessel for trapping demons. He was, like, sucking demons out and, like, somehow just, like, I don't know, digesting them. I don't know.
Oh, gotcha, because the black stuff appears on his hands when he's sucking the demons out.
And then I realized that maybe that's not what was happening, but I was like, I got this thing figured out.
Right. Yeah, it's... I just don't know. This is my prediction, and I have no knowledge. I don't know any comic stuff. My prediction is that he's a demon, and, like, all the interactions we've had with him so far, all of our protagonists, and that's why they're keeping it so hush-hush on really understanding him,
mm-hmm,
because all of these things we've been watching are actually a demon, and there is a boy under him that's, like, possessed.
Yeah, and I think that, remember in one of the episodes they talked about how certain demons could make a mark,
yes,
or whatever, and I think that's what he keeps trying to tattoo over. Because he has that weird something on his chest that might have come from that mystery night where it looks like the father.
That's you're totally right. That's it. That's totally it.
But I don't know what her mark is. If she's also a demon,
I don't know what her mark is either. If she's also a demon, good
but
point.
But she like moves things like demons. She uses her brain to turn that guy into a cube.
So that's the thing. I think gross. It was so gross. That was just so gross.
That was the most tolerable part of the show as far as like scary things go. I felt like that I could watch, but when that eyeball pops out of that one-eyed skull thing, I'm like, nope,
yeah,
nope, nope.
Yeah,
I'm out.
It's real scary and real gross.
I saw it one time and then I think it maybe oozes something, but also I think that there was something that needed tending to in a different room right around then.
Like, I'm going to cook dinner during this scene. It's only 30 seconds long. I'm cooking dinner.
A lot of nervous energy to get out. I'm trying to think what else. I really liked the scene where Anna goes hunting. And she's, like, walking through the rave and touching everyone. It's, like, kind of her shadow that she, you know, because she can touch people and it's completely socially acceptable,
right,
to find someone. So I thought that, I don't know, I really liked that scene because she's not just like dressed in black and brooding. She's like on the prowl. She seemed so much more charming in a way.
Huh. Yeah, like she's, well, it's her way of like pretending to be a different person so she can lure people. I think it's very interesting. I do think we've kind of solved it. I do think that's pretty much what's going on is,
wait,
like,
what?
I think you're right about, because they keep showing that night. And so and even in this last episode with the mother's visions, that she sees a piece of that night,
mm-hmm,
and he's holding his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're going to find out at the end is that the whoever the father demon is marked these two children and they became demons and they've been living as demons. Maybe with the mother, with an actual mother, though, like with a human mother who was slowly overtaken by this demon. Seems like, because it seemed like in this flashback that she's reliving her worst moments, you know? Mm-hmm. She seems like she's the mother, but she's wishing for her daughter's return or whatever, mm-hmm, you know?
Right, maybe her worst moment is that she neglected her son in favor of this, you know, regret.
Right.
I don't know, there's so much to unpack in that particular scene.
Yeah, there's a lot. I feel like that's it. I feel like the show is doing the thing that people like to say is good, which is like show, don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a fan of telling. I feel like I need Giles from Buffy to like show up and give me like
a lecture
on like what demons do and what they can do and what are the rules. Cause I just feel like the show feels really unmoored, both in a character perspective, because they're deliberately hiding elements of their characters from us, but also from a, like, I don't know what the rules are. I don't know what anybody's trying to do.
I do think that the director, or I don't know much about production stuff, definitely watched Buffy, though. I feel like the skull, just, it felt Buffy. Like, there was a moment in the episode that I was just like, this feels Buffy-ish to
me. Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, there have been a few things that I was like, I feel like they're, in making it not too scary, unless your name is Alyssa Terry, I feel like they, you know, because Buffy kind of freaked me out, but I could also kind of watch it.
Yeah, you know, watch most of it.
Right, I could watch most of it. Definitely not the first episode of, like, the pilot. That's too scary for me. I don't think I've ever watched that episode still. I've watched bits and pieces of it. But anyway, I feel like the way they used props and stuff felt a little bit Buffy-esque.
I can see that. I feel like all these shows, we were talking about that on Lovecraft Country, too. How that felt Buffy-esque. Oh. I was like building the team, and you've got this sort of, and I think they did a better job on Lovecraft Country with like the rules of what are these wizards about? Mm-hmm. What are the rules? Like all that felt a little more earned on Lovecraft Country, you know? It's fun. Like everyone's really quippy. Sometimes I feel like it's a little too quippy or too clever, like too clever by half. You know what I mean? Like it's just a little like, that joke feels very written. So I don't know. So let's actually we've already talked for a few minutes about it, but like, let's talk about the actual characters. What do you think of Damon?
I don't know.
Right. That's the problem. I think he's kind of like, do you know what the term neutral mask is?
I think I can make an assumption about it, but you can Professor Giles me, though.
So the neutral mask is this idea that the main character of a thing needs to be sort of a neutral, plain character so that you can put yourself onto that character. And I feel like that's what they're going for with Damon, but not exactly. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, he's supposed to be the neutral mask. He's supposed to be the character that we can sort of project ourselves into. But with all this stuff going on under the surface, that there's clearly something more about him we don't know, it's hard to do that. It's hard to project yourself onto someone you don't fully understand.
Yeah.
So I think that's the problem with Damon. But I don't know. I feel like we're going to get a scene in the season, like in the last episode, where like for a second Damon is exercised and we see like the little boy inside of him. That's my prediction. Yeah.
Well, what do you think about Anna?
I would love to watch more of her story.
Right. She seems like she has a really interesting story where Damon kind of seems a little boring. He had a fairly, you know, he had a traumatic younger childhood, and then there seems to be the spot where his mom goes a little bit mad, and then maybe he goes into foster care or something, but it doesn't seem, unfortunately, to be the more harrowing story. Like, she literally tagged along with a serial killer demon
for a while. And I understand her motivation better, even though we spent a lot more time with Damon, and I feel like we're supposed to be getting things through his perspective on the show so far. Anna feels like she is... Well, she had it a couple episodes ago. She had that explanation of why she does what she does, why she hunts people, because she saw all this pain, all this sorrow, and now she wants to stop as much as she can. You know, so she like goes around hunting bad people, and that like that's a story I can get behind. You know, that's enough of a story. There's enough scaffolding there that I feel like I could be distracted by a good story and not ever care that she's a demon, and like I could get into her story. And Damon doesn't feel like he has that. He just feels very even more simple, but then like they have all this mystery under the surface, and I don't know. I like Anna's story more. I would love to watch. It also has that procedural element where she could she's doing this. She's doing a thing. She's active participant in the thing that's happening to her. You know what I mean? And I know that Damon's supposed to be. I guess this would help. Damon's supposed to be going from like possession to possession depossessing people, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. his job.
Yeah.
We've only seen him do it once, right?
Yeah. Well, he went and that one kid that was just turned out to be a little shit.
Exactly. The kid wasn't real. And then there was the guy who was in the car.
We have seen him set a couple rings of fire.
That's true.
But like, blow a lock off a basement.
Yeah. I guess we've only had 5 episodes, but like 5 episodes in, I kind of need him to be doing the thing that he does. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I've seen Anna kill 2 people that she thought were bad.
Yeah.
And I have not seen. And I guess another thing is we're supposed to believe in this, that their dad is this great evil. And so far, everyone we've seen him kill on screen anyway has been sort of a bad guy to some degree. Am I wrong with that?
I don't know. I think that the twin sister of his last victim who didn't die, I don't really view her as a bad guy. She did die, right?
She got eaten by his stomach.
His stomach sucked her in after it broke her spine.
That was real gross.
Also of note, easier to watch than the skull thing.
Right. But she's still, I feel like she's someone who's like betraying.
She's betraying our main character, but
yeah, I guess
her motivations don't make me feel like she's bad, you know?
Yeah, I guess she doesn't know what he is.
Because she thinks that that Anna's the bad guy, essentially.
Right.
Because Anna's the one who handed her sister over to the demon.
Right.
And so she's part of the, you know, she's an equal bad, I think, in essence. But
that's probably true.
I don't feel like she's bad. But maybe that's just me. They humanized her really well in such a short period of time.
Yeah, for sure. They did. I just don't know.
I'm excited, though. I think that since we're starting to get the rules about how possession works, and we're starting to get a bigger picture of who this big bad is.
Yeah.
Because instead, you know, he's starting to have a face, and we're starting to see some bad things he's done instead of just being like, he was a serial killer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get at. I feel like I haven't seen him do enough bad things to feel like he's the great evil that he supposedly is. Except I know that he apparently was a serial killer in the past or whatever.
Yeah, so I think I'm excited to watch the next 5 episodes.
Yeah, me still. Too. Me too. I surely am. And I, like, I'm enjoying every episode. What do you think of the 2 caretakers? The caretaker and the doctor?
I totally knew for once that mother gave the doctor cancer. I was like,
yeah.
She said she had cancer, and I was like, definitely mother.
Mother did that.
Okay, how is mother controlling as many things as she is from down there in that security? Like, does the security even matter? You know how she got that one guy to try to kill the caretaker?
Yeah.
How is she doing so much? And then she got those 2 guys to kill someone somewhere? I don't know.
Yeah.
That was when I was still trying to convince myself to watch it.
Yeah, that's how he awakened their father or whatever.
Yeah, so she's... seems to have all this power, but is still just chilling down in a cell, in like a cage. I don't know.
Yeah, man.
I'm confused by mother. I like to see the demon and mother run for her life this last episode, though. That was cool.
Yeah, that whole thing was cool, and I really like to see her, like, save herself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's just cool to see.
Yeah.
Like, I am Lady, Hear Me Roar sort of thing.
Sure.
I don't know. I liked it. I liked it. They didn't have to depossess her because she kind of like figured out. She solved it from the inside. And I guess that's another thing is we keep hearing about how that version of Mother is so good. Like Hellstrom loves her. I kind of wish we just saw a little more of their childhood earlier on in the show because I think they're still going to show us more because I just really wish I'd like had a really strong sense of her character.
Yeah.
And we haven't really seen much of her until this episode and it was all in like a fever dream type thing. So
like, did Anna actually have a positive childhood with her mother ever?
Right.
Because so they seem to have equal amounts of time with Victoria. But Anna has turned all of it sour and can't remember any of it, and Damon clings to it. So, but because about the time that Anna got taken, that's when Mother went crazy,
right?
And Damon became Victoria's mother, essentially. because he was feeding her and trying to take care of her and watching over her and calling social services to help her.
Yeah.
Just trying to find some way of helping her. So,
and he has just been doing that ever since he was 12 or whatever. He's been protecting his mother and trying to take care of his mother. All right. Well, we got one piece of feedback about the first three episodes. So this is from Drew Greck. He says, Hellstrom dropped today on Hulu. All 10 episodes are out. After The Boys season 2, I had gotten used to weekly releases. Plus, we're about to have that with Discovery season 3, which is awesome, by the way. If you don't like Star Trek, you should still go watch Discovery season 3. That's Matthew talking, not Drew. Sorry. The Mandalorian season 2 and WandaVision. It's nice to get back to just binge a show. Yeah, I agree. This has been fun. We sat on a couch and watched 5 episodes tonight, basically.
Yep.
Drew continues, and I love Hellstrom. Again, I'm only 3 episodes in, but I'm really enjoying the series. As of right now on Rotten Tomatoes, critics have 35% with 18 reviews, while audiences have 82% with 17 reviews. Wow. Critics don't know anything. Have Jeff read this sentence in a Homer Simpson voice. Jeff is not here, but I will do my best.
Oh, gosh. I've never seen you try to do an impression.
Stupid critics. Stupid. Hold on. Do. I'm not good at voices. Stupid critics. All right. I have 2 complaints about the show so far. The marketing. I was watching an IGN watch party for Hellstrom Episode 1, sponsored by Hulu, and I got an ad for the show, and it spoiled something from later in the series. I'll say which episode it's in when I get there. Have Jeff read this next sentence in the Homer Simpson voice. Would you like to give it a try?
I don't think I know what Homer Simpson sounds like.
Well, he used to sound like Walter Matthau. And then he got... sort of. I'm so bad at voices.
I feel like he has a much higher voice. He's like, go!
Go! That was good. Yeah, you got so much closer than I did. You even got me closer by getting there. Go! Stupid YouTube! Okay, that's him saying that it ruined part of the show, stupid YouTube. Okay, Drew continues. Second complaint. British actor Tom Austin, Damon Hellstrom, has to speak with an American accent on the show. Near the 10-minute mark of episode 1, he says, I have a class to teach tomorrow. He goes British halfway through the word tomorrow. I like that that's his second critique. It's very specific. Have Jeff read these next 3 sentences in a British Homer voice.
I have never felt like such a letdown. That I cannot be Jeff right now.
Right? Like,
what a bummer, man.
You're really messing Drew's day up.
I really am. Not, sorry, by Drew. By not being
Jeff. Sorry, Jeff's sick. Jeff had to move last week, and he was supposed to be on this week, but he was sick.
So I don't know what kind of excuse that is.
Right? We're both sick. We got the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a British Homer Simpson voice. Doing my best. Stupid British people. They think they're so proper. La, 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 la.
I feel like you needed to do more of the... What's the less classy American or British accent? Is it Cockney?
Hey, there, Governor. Yeah, like Cockney.
Homer would definitely not be posh.
No, for sure. Well, but he would pretend to be posh. That's what I was going for. Like... Hello, I'm I feel like I'm finally getting. I'm getting there. I'm finding that Homer voice.
Okay.
Thanks for your support. Drew continues. My thoughts on Hellstrom. Over on my TV podcast, The Average Binger. Oh, cool! I didn't know you had a podcast. We're doing what you guys did for the Marvel Netflix shows. We're recording them all on Saturday, October 17th, and dropping them daily. Yeah, that's what we used to do. It is a lot. I'm so excited to do that. Thanks so much for the awesome podcast, and keep up the great work. Drew, have Jeff read this next sentence.
Oh, no.
In a Homer Simpson voice.
I thought we were home free.
You thought we were Homer free?
Homer free.
Homer free, yeah.
That would have been way funnier if I said that.
No, I feel like you did it right, because if you'd said Homer free, I don't know if it would have landed that you meant home free.
Thanks for the assist.
So this last thing he says is, stupid long email. That's not Homer at all. I've lost it. I had it. I nailed it for like two words.
No.
Dope. All right. Well, thank you, Drew. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Sorry, I'm not Jeff either. He has the voices. I don't know if he does a good Homer. Homer, I feel like should be in your repertoire if you're the type.
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, we're digging Hellstrom. In some ways, in some ways not. I really do feel like it's very similar to the Captain Marvel problem that I have. Not everyone has, but I have. Which is like, it's good. It's enjoyable. I'm enjoying all the things that are happening. But like, I need to know, I need to be moored. I need to know what's going on. I need to know who the characters are. And I need to know what they want. And I need to know how the rules work. You know?
Yeah, I hear you. I am hopeful that they are going to find their stride.
Yeah. Now, what I fear is that they're using this whole first season as a sort of mystery season to like ramp us into like knowing that he's a demon, for instance. If he's a demon, I don't know, but that's what it seems like. If we know he's a demon at the end, and the next season's supposed to be like, oh, now we understand this complex character that is Hellstrom, and then it's like, I don't think they're gonna do a season two,
mm-hmm.
because Marvel TV, the division that created this, no longer exists.
Yeah.
So I think they just had already made this show when that ended. So I think this is the only 10 episodes we're going to get. And I have a feeling it's going to get us to a cool place with interesting characters at the end. And then we're never going to get a season two.
Yeah. Well,
that's a bummer. But we might
see.
They might make a season two. But if they do, it's not going to be at all connected to all the stuff going on in the MCU, which is, you know, what we do here. What I do, darling. All right, that is all for our Hellstrom coverage. Remember, we are gonna go live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv at noon central on Saturday. That's Halloween, and it's gonna be a Halloween 500th Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast and a Halloween party for the Stranded Panda Network. So come out, hang out with us, wear your costumes. We'll bring you on the Zoom call if you want. Like, we've been doing this every Wednesday where we just like bring a lot of people on the Zoom call and we all kind of play games and interact. And like, if you haven't done that yet because you weren't that interested in the trivia or whatever, and we are going to do some Halloween trivia too, but we're probably going to do it in a little different format and it's just going to be fun. So come out Saturday. That is all.
Wait, can I plug something?
Yeah. I'm so sorry. So sorry. Mrs. Terry, what would you like to plug?
I just want to say that this episode was brought to you by the letter M, as in moored.
Are you live tweeting my podcasting right now? Are you? I know people get on me when I use the same word a lot. I tend to perseverate.
I feel like I should have ended this like in a Halloween evil laugh. I don't know. I don't have a good laugh.
All right. So you got to do that. I like it. I like it. But just, you got to say, until next time, true believers. Yeah. Yeah. Go for it.
I can't.
You got this. You got this. I'm
tickled with myself.
But only in the Homer Simpson voice.
Is this supposed to be Dracula or Homer Simpson? Is that Homer Simpson as Dracula?
Yeah. Homer Simpson as Dracula saying, until next time, true believers.
I can't do that.
This is a high difficulty level. You have cilantro in your teeth.
Is that... That was retaliatory.
It was, but it is true.
I don't appreciate that at all.
Until next time, true believers. Ma-a-a-a-a.